The inimitable Bobby Caldwell there. How about that lyric? Coming down from love, and I wonder why it takes so long. Because I keep holding on, that's why. We said that we'd be talking to Bobby at about 12:30 Central Time here, and here we are, right on the money. Bobby Caldwell, good afternoon, my friend. Thanks for joining
good
us.
Good afternoon. How you doing?
Well, we're doing fine now, but Bobby, come Sunday night here in the Twin Cities, we're going to be looking at 16 below zero. Do you still want to come here in a couple weeks?
I'm seeing that, yeah.
Well, you've got a couple of weeks here to get rid of that stuff, so we hope we can blow it out of town.
Well, that would be nice.
Yeah. Where are you right now, Bobby?
I'm in New Jersey.
Oh, okay. And give us a weather report.
We've had our share of snow already.
I know. We've been following that out there. You've almost had a worse winter than we have. But enough about the weather. You're coming here. You're coming here on the 8th and 9th of January at the Dakota in downtown Minneapolis. Have you played that venue before, Bobby?
Yeah, several times before. Okay. We enjoy it.
You like the room okay, huh?
Yes, I do. I love the room.
Oh, boy. Well, we love you and your music. We opened our show today with What Else? You know, What You Won't Do for Love. Bobby, tell us a little bit about that song. People call it your signature song.
Well, I'll tell you something a lot of people don't know, and
okay.
That is, this is from my debut album that came out in 1978.
Yep.
When I delivered the album, What You Won't Do for Love was not on it. And even though the record label was really, you know, geared up to do a massive promotion job on the album. Mm. They felt that I didn't have my breakout single, as they were called back then.
Mm-hmm.
So after 8 months of being in the studio and beating myself up, we went in without giving it too much forethought. And lo and behold, that's what happened.
Wow. You know, the record label, I think this was in Miami, TK is the record
that's
label.
Correct.
Owner
yeah.
Henry Stone listened to your offerings, your compositions, some of the tracks, said, boy, it's nice stuff, but I don't hear a hit there. I don't hear a hit. And I guess you wrote What You Won't Do for Love, the lyrics, in pretty quick order, didn't you?
Yes, I did. But, you know, Henry is a great old record man,
yeah.
And he knows his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't hear a hit?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, he heard one not too long after that, and many more from you.
That's correct.
Bobby Caldwell, tell us about your background. So you came out of Manhattan. Your folks were in show business, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. After I was born in Manhattan, we moved to Pittsburgh, and they had a television show in Pittsburgh, as a matter of fact, on the same station that Fred Rogers was on for 38, 40 years.
Wow.
And so I was always surrounded by, you know, people in television and Broadway. Mm. And it was a great way to grow up.
Yeah. Well, they hosted a TV variety show, didn't they, your folks? Supper Time?
Yeah, the show was called Supper Time.
Yeah.
And they were sponsored by a local brewery called Fort Pitt. that went on for several years, and then Westinghouse bought the station, and we all moved to Miami.
Yeah.
And that's basically where I grew up for the most part, in Miami.
Mm-hmm. Did Miami...
It was a great town for music, too.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, that certainly informed you musically. I think you once said that it was kind of a dumping ground for all kinds of music. You meant that in a very positive way. Well, you took up, what, piano and guitar as a preteen down there?
That's right, yeah.
Okay.
A dumping ground is a perfect word for it, because you had the music from the islands, the reggae and the ska, and you had a Latin influence that was just overwhelming.
Yeah.
And then some of the Bible Belt stuff, you know, the rhythm and blues and soul. And it was a great place to grow up.
Mm-hmm.
And radio was great back then.
Really? Yes.
It was so diverse, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it was at a time when I could actually get on my bike and ride a couple of miles to the mom-and-pop record store.
Oh, wow. Wow, those were great times. I guess the people who have looked closely at your career say your first performances were more, what, rock-oriented than the bulk of your career would indicate. You were, what, playing Jimi Hendrix and Cream covers, that sort of thing?
Yeah.
Yeah? Come on now, you got to fess up.
I was pretty much all over the map, man.
What started to focus you into what you eventually did? What got you in that groove?
After I moved to L.A., to pursue who knows what. I had a band. We moved to L.A. to try to find work. And we started doing Top 40, mostly R&B stuff, Spinners, Earth, Wind, Fire, OJs. And I think that stuff influenced me a lot, you know, learning all those songs. And being a big fan of Marvin Gaye.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. Me too. Legions of us, absolutely.
Yeah.
So Marvin, among others, influenced your style, inspired you.
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
And it ran a gamut because, in one way I was influenced by the Beatles and also by Marvin Gaye and all the stuff that came out of mm-hmm. Philly and Motown.
Yeah.
And all the way to the other end of the spectrum to Sinatra. So I pretty much, I just love great songs.
Yeah.
Great lyric.
Sure. We're talking to Bobby Caldwell here. This is great. Bobby's on the East Coast right now, coming our way. Yes, he'll be in Minneapolis on January 8th and 9th. Each night, two sets there at the Dakota Club. And Bobby, early on, of course, a lot of airplay you got on African-American-dominated R&B radio. And is it true that the record management took certain steps, or your management portraying you in silhouette on the cover? You're white, and a lot of people say, well, he sounds black, and did the label, did your manager want to keep it that way for a while?
I think, aside from myself, I really didn't have a say in it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a collective effort between the management and the label, and they came to the conclusion that, given the fact that they were a predominantly R&B-oriented label, they decided this might be, a prudent move.
Well, especially when you did live performances. There was no...
I'll tell you, there's an interesting thing that happened, because at the time, Natalie Cole had a number one record with her debut album. The song was called This Will Be.
Yes.
And she invited me to open her tour. It was like 40 cities. And What You Won't Do for Love, I think, was number 7 on the top 100.
Wow.
And making its way up.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I was very grateful, and we did the first show in Cleveland, and I walked out on stage, and a hush came over the audience.
This was an epiphany, huh?
Yeah.
What? That's Bobby Caldwell? Had to be quite a moment.
Yeah.
And you've been called, what, blue-eyed singer in the slouch hat. Yes, indeed. Tell us about, of course, not only have you written for yourself, but some other great artists. Who's among that list?
Oh, well, let's see. Alex Rowe.
Yeah.
See, Go West. Chicago, a lot of stuff in Chicago.
Yeah.
Peter Cetera and Amy Grant.
Oh. Wow.
There's been a Boz Scaggs.
Yeah.
A lot of great artists.
Yeah. So matter-of-factly, I know you're very proud of that, and we're proud of you for it, too, and so happy you're coming here. Can you give us a little preview, a little teaser on some of the numbers you're going to be doing at the Dakota?
Yeah, well, we're going to do the things that over the last, 30 years have become important,
mm-hmm.
and showcase like 2 to 3 cuts from the current album, which is called House of Cards.
Okay.
And it's a pretty well-rounded show.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm guessing What You Won't Do for Love is going to be in that set somewhere, huh?
Well, I can't get out of here alive.
You never get out of town
really?
Without doing that. Folks, we just want to remind you, give you a number here to buy tickets. Yes, we will be next week giving away a couple sets, but in the meantime, it's going to be sold out, no doubt about it. You want to buy tickets, get in there now. 612-332-5233. One more time for tickets at the Dakota for the Bobby Caldwell concerts, January 8th and 9th. 612-332-5233. Bobby Caldwell, we've kept you quite a bit here. Thank you so much for your time and your patience. Anything you want to add to our conversation here?
No, that's all right. I'm just at home for the holidays for once.
That's nice.
And enjoying a brief breather.
Well, that's very good. Well-deserved indeed. And, oh, before we go, since we are an all-request program here, Bobby, what's your musical request today?
Did you find it? We were talking off mic about that.
We got it, buddy.
Steely Dan's FM.
Bobby Caldwell, thank you. Here's your request, man. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Yeah, you too.
All right, bye-bye.